All right. So, well, actually, before we get started, let's say a quick prayer. God, just please bless the service, bless the message here, especially God, bless anything that comes from your word that your spirit would really work through it. And God, just bless all our hearts this morning, especially God, bless us as we prepare to take your Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Val already told us one of my little one of the things I was going to talk about is what happened at 10:42 on Friday night, just in case there was any confusion about that. Anybody know what happened? Val, what happened at 10:42 on Friday night? I don't know if Val can hear me, but what did Val say? Phil, what did Val say happened at 10:42 on Friday night?
The sun reached its farthest, longest something, or something with the sun in the summer.
All right, good. And Phil said since the women are not meeting after church today, he said I could give a little science lesson. So he said as long as I'm done by one. It was it one, Phil?
Yes, 1 o'clock. Yep.
All right. So anyway, I'm an astronomy teacher, a bit of a geek. So I'm going to actually explain to you what that means. So as the Earth is revolving around the sun, okay. You can see, I don't know if you can see my pointer here, but the Earth is tilted on its axis, as you probably knew. And in the summer, the northern hemisphere where we live is actually tilted toward the sun. And in the winter, we are tilted away from the sun. So at 10:42 on Friday night, we reached that point where we are most tilted toward the sun. And that's known as the summer solstice. And we get the most light. So that means we have the longest day. Daytime's like 15 hours, maybe 5:30 till about 8:30. And it's nice and warm and all that kind of good stuff. So and it was supposed to be nice and warm today in the park. And Phil unfortunately is sitting there by himself in the park. But I love the summer. I love the summer services that we, get to have in the park. They're fantastic. And, I also love this series that we've been doing now for the past, gosh, it's been probably since the beginning of the year on the Hall of Faith. And, I think back in January, we started with Abel. He's the first one. And now, believe it or not, this is the last name on the list of the Hall of Faith, Samuel. It's been so faith building to, look at all kinds of different people, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Rahab, and even, people we may have never heard about, like Jephthah and Barak. So let's turn over this morning in Hebrews 11. And so let's see. Yeah. So Hebrews 11, and it says in verse 32, what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Now, of course, we all love how he says, I don't even have time to tell you about, and then he goes on to, tell you about those guys. And then, but fortunately, over the past several weeks, we have actually taken the time to look at all of these amazing people. And it's kind of interesting. He says, David and Samuel and the prophets. And I looked it up, and it looks like there's about 25 or more people that could have made that list of and the prophets, people like Isaiah and Jeremiah. And, hopefully I'll give a plug for the Tuesday night series on Isaiah. And if you haven't been keeping up with that, you can definitely catch up on the Garden State Church website. But the last episode, would you say, of that series is on Tuesday. Bobby's going to be doing sort of like a recap. So if you want to hear the recap and then go back and cap, then you can do that. All right. So yeah, we could pretty much spend the rest of the year if we wanted to talking about those other 25 prophets. But actually, I think next week's our last sermon on the Hall of Faith. But today we'll definitely be talking about Samuel. And You know, in Samuel's life, excuse me, those words that we've just read in Hebrews 11 really come alive. I mean, you can read about Samuel. If you want to study out Samuel's life, you can read about him in 1 Samuel, obviously, chapters 1 through 16, and in chapter 25. Now, Samuel may not have conquered kingdoms with a sword, but in 1 Samuel 7, we see him lead Israel in national repentance and prayer, and God gave them victory over the Philistines without even raising a single weapon. You know, it talks about administering justice. Well, Samuel was a judge, and in 1 Samuel 7, it tells us that he traveled in a regular circuit around to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, judging the people and settling disputes according to God's law. It talks about gaining what was promised. Well, he didn't gain what was promised through maybe wealth or ease, but he through a lifetime of listening to God and obeying his voice. Even when the people rejected him in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and wanting a king, Samuel remained faithful, interceding for them and speaking the truth. He was not afraid to confront King Saul in 1 Samuel 15, reminding him and us that, you know, obedience to God is better than sacrifice. And even though he didn't die in battle or face lions, he definitely suffered rejection, loneliness, and sorrow. But through it all, he walked with God, trusting in God who still speaks to those who are listening. So his life's full of exciting stories. And if you've watched the recent series on Amazon called House of David, you will have seen him in action. So this is actually that's the thing about House of David. And this is actually Samuel anointing David in that series. Great show. At least what I've seen. I don't think I've seen all of it yet, but what I have seen has been really really cool to see these characters in action. And in fact, you know, I was gonna say Gandalf. Samuel reminds me a bit of Gandalf from the Lord of the Rings. He looks like him a little if you're a Lord of the Rings fan. So okay, so what we're gonna do, but what I'd like to do today is I just want to focus on a story from Samuel's early life before he was conquering kingdoms and doing all those things. So if you would please turn to me turn with me rather in Sam to Samuel 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, while you're turning there, I just want to you know say a little bit in 1 Samuel chapter 2 we catch some glimpses of a young Samuel growing up in the house of the Lord at Shiloh. You probably remember, you know, how his mother gave him to, you know, she said, if I have a child, I'll devote him to the Lord, I think. Or maybe that was Samson. But anyway, she took him to the temple and he was ministering before the Lord. He was wearing a linen ephod, which is what a priest wears. You know, he was serving in the temple. And his mother brought him like a new robe every year. And you know, even as a boy, he's shown as someone who was set apart, you know, living and growing in the presence of God. So now that you've turned to 1 Samuel 3, let's read that together. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming weak so that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of the Lord had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark was. And the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and he said, "Here I am. You called me?" But Samuel said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" "My son," Eli said, "I did not call you. Now go back and lie down." You probably remember doing that if you had little kids, right? Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times. Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke about against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin that he knew about. His sons blasphemed God and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house to the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am. What was it, he said to you, Eli asked. Don't hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything that he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Excuse me. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up and let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. So in this chapter, we see Samuel, you know, lying in the temple. You know, it says that the word of the Lord was very rare. And yet God called Samuel by name three times. At first, he thinks it's Eli. Eli says, no, it wasn't me. And then finally, Eli gets it. Oh, I guess God's trying to, you know, call him. You know, the word of the Lord is pretty rare, so he wasn't used to it, maybe. But then he finally does go to him and tell him, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And so, you know, this is really the moment that, you know, that Samuel becomes a listener and a messenger for God. Now, a couple of interesting things that I saw when reading through this. First of all, God had to call him several times. Now, I'm sure probably for you, when God speaks to you, you probably hear him the first time. But I know that for me, sometimes, you know, God sometimes has to call to me several times before I can hear him. And the second thing I noticed is that, you know, what God was telling Samuel was something he didn't really want to hear. You know, Samuel didn't really want to have to go tell Eli all the things that were, you know, that God had told him. And, you know, I know that there's times when God's, you know, speaking to me and, you know, I'm afraid to do what he's telling me to do. You know, sometimes it might be confronting sin in my life or in somebody else's life, or maybe sharing my faith with somebody who I find intimidating, or maybe just doing the right thing when it's hard to do. And the third thing, and it in verse 7, it says, Samuel did not yet know God, as God had not yet spoken to him. So I found that interesting. I mean, he's serving in the temple, you know, he's wearing a priestly garment and all that, but yet he didn't know God. So we see here that, you know, we get to know God by listening to him speak to us. And, you know, as disciples, we all want to hear God speak to us, right? And in fact, in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. But in our lives, especially in this day and age, listening to God can be challenging. So I'm going to read a little scenario to you, right? Have you ever had a day like this? You wake up early one morning, and before you even sit up in bed, your phone buzzes. Oh, it's a news alert. Then a group text that you absolutely must respond to. Then all of a sudden you look at some social media notifications, you scroll for a few minutes, and 20 minutes later, you're still there halfway through someone's vacation photos or reading arguments on the comments section. Now you're running late, so you read a scripture, and as you scarf down some coffee and a bowl of cereal, you listen to the news while driving to work. Then your favorite sports podcast just dropped, so you catch that on the way home from work. And then after dinner, you spend some quality time with your spouse watching TV. Right. And then before bed, you pick up your Bible and read a scripture and say a prayer before you go to bed. and we wonder why we don't hear God speaking to us, right? Now, I don't have time to tell you that according to recent statistics, the average American watches almost 3 hours a day of TV, spends over 2 hours on social media, checks their phone over 150 times, and accumulates more than 7 hours of screen time each day. Well, hopefully the day I described to you is not a typical day for us as disciples, but you know, I'm sure for at least some of us, and myself included, it's not necessarily an atypical day either. I know I've had days like this. I mean, we're very distracted, right? So this morning, I would like to just talk about some ways that we can train ourselves to listen to God and, you know, maybe overcome some of these distractions and how we can say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, yeah, well, it was probably easy in Samuel's day because, you know, he didn't have all these distractions. He probably didn't even have a cell phone. Maybe he did. I don't, probably not, right? In 1 Samuel 2, we read about Eli's sons who were stealing temple offerings and sleeping with the women who served at the temple. So Satan has always had plenty of ways to distract people from being close to God. But, you know, in our day, I actually think we get distracted by things that aren't even necessarily bad things, right? I mean, it's good to connect with your family and friends on social media. I mean, my wife's family lives in the Philippines, and she gets to actually be in their lives a lot more because of it. So that's a good thing, right? It's good to be informed about what's going on in the world. I mean, it's good to enjoy sports. I mean, it's good to enjoy a good TV show. But obviously, when we let these things keep us from seeking God first, we've completely gotten our life out of balance, right? God spoke directly to Samuel. I mean, he literally heard God call him by name. In fact, one of the things I don't think I've ever noticed this in all my years as, you know, reading the Bible, in verse 10, it says that the third time God called him, or maybe it was the fourth time, God stood there and called him, which, you know, that was pretty interesting to me. So, you know, it wasn't enough for Samuel to hear God. Samuel actually needed to see God in this instance. And, you know, so sometimes God needs to do dramatic things in our lives to get our attention. Now, maybe some of you have had experiences of actually hearing or seeing God. I don't know. But, you know, for the rest of us, how do we hear God speak to us? So what I was hoping to do in the park is to actually, you know, kind of spend a few minutes with the people that were sitting near you, sharing maybe some specific ways that you allow God listen, or, you know, that God speaks to you, or how you listen to God. And I didn't necessarily want to do like breakout rooms because that can get a little bit confusing. But I thought maybe what we'd do is at least maybe write in the chat and maybe think about it for a second. You know, it's not a race. I'm not going to like, you know, but think about and we'll spend like maybe 5 minutes actually just thinking and maybe sharing in the chat just about some ways that God has spoken to you, or, you know, some ways that you regularly are able to listen to God speak to you. So go ahead, think about that maybe for a second, and I will try to find my chat here so I can see what people say. Oh, there it is. All right, so I see in my thoughts, through verses, through others, walking in the woods in silence, love it. Whenever I find myself lacking faith, I earnestly ask for it, and I have found that God always provides it. Great. Through music, awesome. In my QT, when God places things on my heart, through other people in quiet times, through praising God, through prayer, nature, God works came to my mind, worship, quiet times, through people, thoughts about what I've read in the Bible, my conscience, spouses, Val, you must have a spouse like me, children, journaling, writing in the Psalms, All right. Well, great. You know, guys, I really appreciate you sharing some of those things. And actually, some of those things are some of the things I was also going to talk about a little bit. So maybe I can expand upon a few of those things. Miss Lady, through the miracles he's done for us. That's awesome. Thank you. When I want to be lazy and he says go, that's that is so often the case. Thank you. Okay, so you know, a year or two ago, I read a wonderful book, and this is the cover of it. It's called "Discerning the Voice of God: How to Recognize When God Speaks," by this author Priscilla Shire, who I'd never heard of before, but I really enjoyed this book. And Priscilla talks about five ways that we can hear God's voice, and most of these are things that you guys have already said. You know, first of all, by immersing yourself in the scripture. You know, the more we read God's word, the more we immerse ourselves in his word, the more you know, God's, you know, because God's voice always aligns with his word. God's never going to tell us something that contradicts his word. Seeking guidance through prayer, you know, listening for God's direction and clarity. Wise counsel, you know, a lot of you talked about through others. Absolutely, God can use others to speak to us, sort of like he did with, you know, David and Nathan and a lot of other places in the Bible. You know, observing how God's voice resonates with your inner peace. You know, God was telling Samuel to do something he didn't want to do, but I'm sure that once he did it, he had peace. So, you know, sometimes initially, you might be thinking, oh, this isn't God speaking to me. But, you know, as you wrestle through it, you might realize, wow, that actually is God speaking to me. I just really didn't want to do this. So, right. And then finally, testing the voice against the fruit of the Spirit and the character of God. So, you know, again, God's not going to tell us something that goes against his word and his character. I think this is a great list. And I've actually, you know, since I read this book a couple of years ago, I've been trying to put some of these principles into practice in my life. And I also want to list just a couple other practicals before we take the communion that I've really found helpful to me in trying to hear the voice of God more in my life. And again, some of these are some that you guys have already mentioned. Now, I should say that I'm an empty nester, and you know, my life is a lot different than it was when I was constantly chasing around two little girls around the house. And you know, not all of these practicals might work for you, but maybe it'll, you know, at least spur your imagination of, you know, maybe some things that you could do to help listen to God better. Okay, so, all right, the first thing is getting up early. You know, again, I said I'm an empty nester, so I don't have as many responsibilities at home as you might, but each morning I set my alarm really early. I have to leave for work early already, so that means I have to set my alarm even earlier. But unless I do that, I'm not going to get a good time with God, you know, and that means I need to go to sleep pretty early. I feel like sometimes I'm missing out on things because I'm going to sleep so early, but you know, I have to leave the house early. And then, you know, after I leave early, I still have about, you know, 50-minute drive to work. And, you know, I try to use that time as well to keep my mind focused on God. The second one's memorizing scriptures. A couple of years ago, I began devoting myself to memorizing scriptures, and I can't tell you how many times the scriptures I've memorized have come into my head when I need them. Probably the one that comes into my head the most is Philippians 4:8. Now, I'm not even going to tell you what it is. I'm going to make you do some work. So if you don't know what it is, write down the reference and look it up and you know, maybe memorize it this week. Because you know, I've meditated on that scripture so much that many, many times when ungodly thoughts start entering my mind, which they often do, this scripture almost always now pops into my head, and you know, almost a second later, I'll literally see in my mind, these ungodly thoughts sort of being washed away by God's word. And it's so powerful. And so I definitely recommend, if you don't already do so, to, commit God's word to memory. Practicing silence. A number of you mentioned that. A few years ago, I would have never driven in my car without either listening to a sports podcast, listening to an audiobook, or listening to music. Now I actually, and sometimes I have to consciously do it. I try to spend at least half my time driving in complete silence. Well, if any of you have been in my car, you know, it's probably not complete silence because I'm having muffler issues. So it's not silence, but at least, I'm not listening to things that'll take my attention. Sometimes when I'm driving, I pray. Sometimes I meditate, or sometimes I just try to be silent. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard God speak to me during these times of silence. Sometimes it'll be through scriptures, sometimes through a song. Sometimes, I have something I remember hearing somebody say in a sermon or something. Sometimes it's just a thought. A few weeks ago, Matt Rupert, when he was talking about Jephthah, was talking about those quiet, I think he called them quiet nudges that God, gives us. And sometimes, those little thoughts that God puts into our heads. I think it was maybe Esty that mentioned listening to music. Now I'm a big music lover, and I even teach music during the summer in summer school at my school. And I love all kinds of music, but I was never really into Christian music outside of singing in church. And I grew up in a church, evangelical Protestant church. And, a lot of the kids in church would listen to like Christian rock. And, I thought it was really lame, to be honest. And, but recently I've found a ton of really good Christian music that I love to listen to. And I mean, the words are just so amazing. And it really helps me turn my mind to God throughout the day. So many times I wake up in the morning actually singing a song, and it immediately helps me to, turn my mind to God and keep focused on Him. If you have any favorites, please, you can even share them in the chat or share them with me next time you see them. Actually, let's see, practicing silence, spiritual music, spiritual media, listening to, Bible podcasts or spiritual books. I mean, I love sports. And there was a time in my life when I used to listen to about 8 different football podcasts during the week. And I was also trying to kind of listen, I went to school, I studied engineering, so I didn't read all those like classic books that everybody says, oh, if you haven't read this, you're not well read. So I, for years I was, trying to like maybe read a few of those, classic books that I should have read in college or whatever. And I remember one day, thinking like, wow, I could be really maybe spending better use of this time, all these hours, what will this really matter in 100 years from now? Now there's some great, lessons to be learned from classic books. I'm not dissing them, but now I try to spend more time listening to things that will nourish my soul and prepare me for new creation, for heaven. And I still like listening to sports podcasts or even the occasional classic novel. But I also, try to listen to, I love the Bible Project. That's kind of, I listen to their podcast. I try to keep up with that. I've learned so much about the Bible through that. I've always loved listening to spiritual books, but, they were always competing with the other books that I wanted to listen. So now I try to, prioritize those. And I also love spending time in my car, just sort of reciting my memory scriptures. And, I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything by putting God first. In fact, it just gives me so much more joy and peace and, fruit of the Spirit in my life. Another thing is setting reminders. I used to find that once I got to work, I might not even think about God at all the whole day until I drove home. Maybe I, I would say a prayer before I, before I ate my lunch. But a couple of years ago, Emmett bought me, I don't know if you can see this watch. And I wanted it because I wanted to start tracking my steps. And one of the things I realized that was really cool about it is I could set a reminders throughout the day. So, sometimes I set them every hour, sometimes every 15 minutes. And when the alarm goes off, I'll just take a minute and, maybe say a prayer or think about a scripture for a minute. And it's really helped me, and to the point where now I don't often set the alarms because I just find myself thinking about God. I've kind of trained my mind. The Bible talks about training yourself to be godly. There's also a great phone app, which this one here, it's called Pause. It's a cool app where you can set it to go off certain times during the day, and it'll give you like a guided, like 1 minute guided thing about resetting your mind and focusing on God. It's pretty cool. I haven't used it a ton, but I've used it a few times and I really think it's great and you might like it. And the last thing somebody mentioned, again, I think somebody's mentioned in the chat almost all of these things, but prayer walks. Yeah, I told you I got this thing so I could take walks. And one of the things I noticed is that taking walks is a fantastic time to spend time with God and to pray or just, just listen and just, be still and know that I am God. Oftentimes if I'm really stressed, maybe something's really going on at work, stressing me out. If I go for like a 10-minute walk, I find out at like 10 minutes seems to be like the sweet spot. I just, my mind becomes calm. I can feel the Holy Spirit, giving me peace. And, like I said, your life might be much different than mine. You may not be able to wake up early in the morning. That's fine, but there are definitely things that you can do in your life so that you can listen to God and go back through the chat. I mean, there was some fantastic, probably there was stuff in the chat that was much better than some of the things that I said. So go ahead and check that out. Now, as we, I want to transition now into communion. And, obviously this is the most important, time of the lesson of the whole service here. And if you need a minute to go track down your cup, I was gonna say raise your hand and the ushers can make sure you get one. But actually, Phil said he would drive one over to your house if you don't have one. So you can try that. So let's turn to Matthew 26:39. And it says Jesus, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Not as I will, but as you will." In this very familiar passage, we read a lot during communion. In this passage, Jesus is listening to his father. And similar to Samuel, what Jesus' father was telling him was not something that he necessarily wanted to hear. When we teach people, when we do the cross study with people, we talk about the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual pain that Jesus endured for us. I mean, Jesus knew what was coming. Many people have endured physical and maybe even emotional pain that Jesus endured at this time. But I'm quite sure that nobody ever experienced the spiritual pain that Jesus did. And he knew that was coming. So you can imagine just how hard it was. I mean, he was begging God for a plan B, he imagine he, preparing himself to be separated from his father for the first time in forever. And also just imagine the pain, that his father went through, I get so sad when my, kids have been home visiting and then they leave. It makes me so sad. And can imagine that the pain that, that the father was going through, knowing that this is what his son had to go through for us. So, Jesus was willing to listen, but more importantly, he was willing to obey. It's one thing to listen, it's another thing to listen to God and then actually do what he's trying to tell us. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, it says ex everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So, as we examine ourselves, let's listen to God. Maybe God's telling us something, and maybe it's something that we really don't want to hear. Maybe you hear that quiet nudge of God telling you that there's some sin that we need to confess, or maybe we need to apologize to someone, or maybe we need to remove something from our life or someone from our life that's not helping us to be close to him. So, let's pray that during this time, if God's speaking to us, we would listen and we would obey him just like Jesus did. So, as we take the bread, which is his body, and the juice, which is his blood, just remember how difficult it was for Jesus to obey what his father was asking him to do, and yet he did it for us. And pray that as we take this communion, I like to think of communion as kind of a reset. No matter what was going on, even this morning or yesterday or this week, that we can leave that sin, the worry, any bad attitudes, or whatever it is that the foot of the cross, and that we can be transformed by his spirit so that we can listen to and obey God this week. So I'll say a prayer for the bread and the juice, and then I believe and I'm gonna pause for like a minute just for again so that we can all kind of examine ourselves, and then I'll pray, and then you can take the communion. Father, we thank you for the fact that you do speak to us, and there's all different kinds of ways that you speak to us. Jesus says that his sheep hear his voice, Father. So I pray that we would be those sheep that hear your voice, and that even as we take the bread, Father, that reminds us of the incredible sufferings that you had to go through, that you listened to your father and that you obeyed him. Father, we can't even imagine, Jesus, we can't even imagine what would have happened if you had taken a shortcut or some easier way out, and not obeyed your father. Please help us to obey you, Father. Help us to, and Father, now as we think about your suffering that you went through, I just pray that it would just give us a gratitude to just go out now from this moment and leave behind anything that has been hindering us, any sin, any worry, any cares that have prevented us from listening to you, or just walking in the joy of being your children, Father. Help us to share this joy and this love with those around us and our families, our friends, and our coworkers, and God, just please bless the rest of our day today, that we would go out refreshed and just able to serve you in everything we do today and this week. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.